stand up so you can see me when I
please, ask
my question. A total different subject I have to ask you about. There are a lot of asylum seekers in Holland, you know, for different reasons.
Yes.
But I know Shabir, he lives with us in our village, and he has to leave his country because of his religion.
Right.
And it's very hard for people who have to fly there to get out of their country because of religion reasons. They have a hard time here, another culture, far away from family and friends and so on. My question is there a possibility for your community, for communities in Holland, churches, for instance, to influence the governmental policy on this? And what ways are there to influence them?
I think the attempts have already been made repeatedly to influence the European governments and even the American government by Ahmadi leadership and personally by me, myself, but they met with complete failure. I even, you know, I am known to many important congressmen in America, senators. When I go there, I invite, the community invites them to meet me, and they do come. They are kind enough, humble enough to accept that invitation and discuss these things at length. And also, I am known to some British ministers, many members of parliaments, many influential politicians. I know many German politicians and leaders, and we have been frequently discussing these things. The day after here, I'll be going to Belgium, and I know the German representative on the permanent board of human rights, United Nations Human Rights, and he is coming to meet me in the afternoon. So at that level, and at Amnesty level, at all other such levels, we have attempted very genuinely and seriously to convince the world, important world governments, to bring to bear pressure upon the Pakistan government to change their cruel stance towards Ahmadis. But we have discovered that it is not possible, because politics at higher level becomes immoral. It has neither religion nor morality. It is a completely selfish code related only to national interests and group interests. And all the talk of the high moral ground you heard during the Gulf crisis, etc., is just hocus-pocus and totally meaningless. That's a big joke. A joke from one point of view, but a huge tragedy on human affairs, in human affairs. Morality and politics have completely no converging point, no meeting point. Only they meet in that much where morality suits the national or group interests. Then it can be quoted to your enemies. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything. Double standards are the order of the day. I can quote, this is a long story of sad failures, although at the human level, everyone I met was convinced. The evidence I produced was strong enough for them not to refute. Then I knew from their faces they were sympathetic. But beyond that, nothing doing. Once during my meeting with some congressmen and senators in Washington, one of them, after these discussions, stood up and said, we are planning, he said that I am fully convinced of all that that is happening to Ahmadis, etc., and I promise to help the individual cases when they are reported to me or to us, to bring about pressure upon the government to alleviate the suffering of those cases. I said, thank you very much. I do not doubt your intention of helping individual Ahmadis. But why should I come to seek ointment from those who are responsible for the injury? You consider me mad enough? or disgraceful enough to do that, I will never beg mercy from Americans, because I know they are at the helm of affairs. They are entirely responsible for what is happening in Pakistan, because it is their dictatorial regime which has done all this to us. Zia was their choice. And they said it is our compulsion because of Afghanistan problem. So when you have political compulsions, where is morality? Where is the principle of human rights and justice and all that? So I said, I know and you know very well, and they agreed, of course. They had the courage enough at that level to agree, yes, we agree, that you have political compulsions and you can't help it. And it is your regime which is doing that injustice. If that regime was supported by America, then I could come to help to you, by Russia. Then, of course, I could come to seek help you help for seek help from you, because then I knew you would do it for your own sake, but not now in this case. So I ended up with a slight humorous remark which made everybody happy and laugh, and that ended up there. I said, what perplexes me is the fact that when an American dog bites somebody in America, then that the owner of that dog can be sued for the damages of millions of dollars. But your dogs in foreign lands are biting everybody else. But no redress. Nothing can be done about it. So this is the situation. Europe is following America, except in those cases where they have their individual interest to serve. It has become a rule, almost a law, that the entire Europe will not disagree with American policies unless those policies directly clash with their own national interest. What lies elsewhere is not their concern. So I'll end up my answer by a personal experience, and then you'll know the gravity of the situation. During one subcommission on human rights session, the Ahmadis proved their point to the degree that the free members of the subcommission from European countries passed a very strong resolution condemning Pakistan. Now, emboldened and encouraged by this success, we thought to go one step ahead and have a resolution resolved in the full commission. Let me tell you the difference between the two. Some of you may not know. The subcommission is not a government organization, representative of governments. Subcommission is a collection of free people from different countries who have sympathies with human causes. So they do not represent states. So their decision is important, but it is not representative of state policies. So as far as the subcommission was concerned, it was okay. So we said, why not go a step further? Perhaps the same people or their friends will be represented in the full commission, and then that there will be real pressure on Pakistan. So we met Russian delegation, French delegation, Hollandish delegation, German, so on and so forth. And almost the majority agreed that yes, if somebody moves this resolution, we are convinced we'll support it. So Ireland decided to move the resolution, Australia decided to move the resolution, and one other country, I don't remember, it was Holland or some other country, but perhaps it was Holland. Initially they decided. Mr. Schussler was the permanent representative of America on the subcommission at that time. A few months before this move on our side, he was called back to America, and there was no American representative in the picture at that time there. He was working as assistant deputy secretary on human affairs desk in the State Department. So the community in Washington made the blunder of approaching Mr. Schussler and telling him what we have succeeded already in obtaining already. only a few days from the date of resolution, which could have been passed, but for this blunder. They approached him and said, look here, you support our cause because everybody else is ready. He said, what do you mean everybody else is ready? He said, yes, so-and-so has committed, so-and-so has committed. He said, okay, I'll see to it. He flew back to Geneva, and I received a panicky call from my representative in Geneva that after Mr. Schussler made a hurried call here, every member of European states on subcommission, on full commission, has gone back on his promise. He said, no more. It was, I remember Holland, but I'm not 100% certain. The representative of Holland said, I will keep true to my word only to the extent of support, but I will not move the resolution. He went to Ireland. They said, of course, please, don't push us that far. We'll not move the resolution. Make somebody else move the resolution. Australian representative received a telegram from their center with central government to withdraw from this. So this representative, Sheikh Nasir Ahmed is his name, went to Russian ambassador. He said, look here, I'm ready. I'll move the resolution. But it will be a kiss of death to your cause. If Russia moved the resolution, you do not know that under American influence, the entire West European states plus other states who are represented, they will vote against it. And whatever success you gained through the subcommission's resolution would be wiped out. Negative remarks would be given. So if you want it, I'll move. He telephoned me. I said, it was very stupid of you to go to him. Of course, this is so right. So this is where things stand in world affairs. No way out.